Can creativity be replaced?
Yes.
No.
Yes,
I don't
can.
But I don't think it can. I don't think creativity can be replaced.
Define creativity. We are back.
We back.
We in it, baby.
2 weeks.
Yo.
Been a minute. Here we are.
Hey, man. 11 episodes, 4 months. We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Why not?
Man.
Why not?
It's a lot of work. People don't see the work that we/you put in on the back end here.
100%. And the thing is, when we miss a week, we come back even better. We got more to talk about.
We got big topics.
Of course.
We got everything going on. But
we've evolved as people.
I've changed.
Yeah, a little bit.
In the last 2 weeks, I went on a lifelong journey to discover myself.
Got a nice fresh haircut, too.
Yeah, I got
You're
a fade.
Chilling. Yep.
Fade, man.
Yep.
But what's going on?
What's going on? It's funny. I can't remember what I did last weekend, but this weekend that just came up, I hit the Nubian comedy show at Yuck Yucks, which
oh nice
is dope. They do it last Sunday of every month, and it's like an all black show.
Joke.
So like everyone there is black, all the comics are black. It's just like they've been doing it for decades too.
They're probably just like, who here hates white people?
It's a lot of those jokes, you know.
Yeah,
but
like it's like goddamn.
It yeah, it's a dope time.
As a light skin, I'm offended.
The host is light skin, so I mean,
there we go.
You know what I mean?
That's
representation.
Sick,
and then on Friday I went to Patois.
Nice.
Up to, you know, Friday or Saturday, one of those days. And
that place is fire, man.
I love Patois, man.
That place is fire.
Yeah. It was the man's that we went to, that I went to London with last year. So we were trying to, like, plan what's our trip this year. We don't know yet. Everyone has different ideas,
yeah.
But we're in the planning stage, you know. We're trying to do a dope summer trip again, make this summer eventful, you feel me?
Let's go.
What about you? What are you up to?
Man, speaking of travel, booked Ireland, booked Sweden.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Oh, shit.
Jill and I are going outside, man.
Yeah, yeah. You brought it up. I didn't know everything was booked.
Yeah, well, we got it done. Well, we still had to book, like, a couple things on the inside of the trip, but
okay.
The big flights from here to over there are sorted, so
jeez.
I'm really excited, man.
When are you going?
Like, mid-July.
Okay.
Yeah, just after her brother's wedding. But
damn.
Man, a lot's happened in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm emceeing my girlfriend's brother's wedding.
Oh, really?
My best friend asked me to MC his wedding.
Turn into a podcast.
Dude,
bring me and then I'll...
Yeah, honestly, I'll be like, hey.
We'll talk about advertising and tech and nothing about the wedding.
But
the
it's good, man. Like, definitely really excited for the opportunity and it should be a fun time. Really excited for the summer. It's already kind of just started. I am cheesed because I was supposed to be in Chicago as of tomorrow.
Sure.
But they canceled it and they changed it to virtual. So I'm like, that's so soft. No, but
it's 2023, guys. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. I'll be in Boston next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Bachelor party. Really excited. Going to eat some really good Boston seafood.
Can you catch a game out there?
Yeah, well, we're going to a Red Sox game, but Celtics are going to be playing. So
it's going to be really expensive
Tickets will probably be pretty crazy, but... Yeah. I'm really excited.
Dope.
Speaking of, you know, games,
NBA.
we gotta do our weekly recap, of course,
sports recap.
Or bi-weekly recap, I should say.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs have been fire so far.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about it. It's been excellent.
It's been like a TV drama. Almost,
yeah, man. It's
know?
Great.
Yeah. Shout out to Dylan Brooks.
Dylan
do we shout out Dylan Brooks? I think so, because
yeah.
He brought a lot of attention.
Totally.
Like, I'm not someone that watches a lot of games. I think I was telling you that. But just keeping up with, like, that rivalry that he's trying to create and that, like, villain story that he's trying to create has been amazing.
Oh, it's been amazing, right?
You know?
And I think, like, that's the thing for me
that
I find really interesting. So for those who might not know, the Lakers played the Grizzlies in the
first round
of the playoffs. Grizzlies had been known to be a young team, very young, talented team.
John Morant.
With John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, all these like kind of like young, talented guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they got like a bit of an attitude. They have a little bit of swagger to them, and they weren't afraid to show it this season.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
They kind of positioned themselves as like the bad guys in the league. Like, John Morant got into a bunch of stupid shit. I think we talked about it on a podcast
stuff
before.
Outside
of the game,
yeah.
Like, waving guns and, like, nightclubs and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, take it easy,
yeah.
You know? There's no need for you to be doing this. And, like, Dylan Brooks is a guy who, like, got a lot of personality. He talks a lot of shit.
Man, the outfits that he pulled
the
off
outfits,
this year.
Man, are so
yeah.
good. Like, the pregame, like,
yeah,
walk
yeah.
into the arena. I love it, man.
Yeah.
But I definitely see why people hate them.
100%.
In the first round, they talked a lot of shit about, you know, LeBron, how he's old, you know, they're not afraid of him or anything like that. And yeah.
Look what happened.
It did not end well for them.
No.
It
didn't. They lost by 40 in the last game.
Yeah. Yeah. They lost by 40 in that last game. That was, yeah. That was not.
So that shut Dylan. He hasn't said anything since. And now he's in Cancun.
Chilling. Yeah,
so
yeah, he's like, it's a parade inside my city. Yeah, it's a parade inside Cancun.
100%.
But I love it. I think it's one of those things, and we don't need to stay on this for too long, but a great example of, like, guys in the NBA not afraid to showcase their personality and, like, be the bad guy. And I feel like the NBA needs a lot more bad guys.
Yeah.
People criticize the NBA for being too soft, not enough rivalries, not enough shit talking. This is a perfect example of, like, a team and especially a player who, like, talks a lot of crap. Did he back it up? Not really, but that's okay. Like,
he's young. Yeah. This is going to be continuous.
Continuous.
Right?
I respect him. Yeah. Dylan Brooks, if you're listening to this, I rate you. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. You might have gotten under a lot of people's skin, including mine, but I respect you for what you did. Obviously, being a Canadian guy, too. Mississauga, absolute legend. I respect your game. Legend.
What I do like, though, is that it was all, like, in the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, nothing was personal. He's not attacking LeBron's family and all of that and his personal characteristics. It's all just, like, gameplay.
Yeah, totally.
Aside from calling him old, but that's, like, that's funny.
You
know? In the context of the NBA, LeBron is old.
Yeah, totally.
In real life, he is not. But, yeah. You know what I mean?
So, really respect the Grizzlies there. A lot of shit talking, but let's kind of jump to the next thing. Another NHL. Big historic moment. The Leafs made it out of the first round.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying these words. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And how I found out, I was in the Uber heading to an event on Saturday, and there was a lot of traffic. And I'm like, what's going on right now? And people are honking their horns. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. And everyone's got their jerseys on in the streets. And I'm like, okay, we're going through this.
Yeah, man. Well, listen.
I haven't watched a single game, but I'm keeping up to date based on what's happening literally in the streets of downtown Toronto.
Yeah, you know? It's crazy, man. Yeah.
What do you think? As someone that watches hockey and you're a fan.
Yeah, man. Like, I can't hate. You know what I mean? Like, I look at that team. Like, they've done a good job of, like, coming back in a couple games.
Yeah.
Had a pretty good series against Tampa. And they won, man. Like, there's nothing I can say about it.
Yeah.
It's, like, a big time for the city. It's gonna get hype.
You bleed blue?
No comment. On to the next one. I bleed red. I'm a Raptors guy. We're a Raptors.
There you go. Here. All the time.
But I respect the Leafs.
All the time.
I can't shit talk.
Other event. We're just gonna keep the sports theme for now. But I don't know. Did you see the Tank versus Garcia fight?
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great, man.
Yeah.
You know,
boxing, by the way.
Ryan Garcia is like, man, like, I've seen this guy. He's like a TikTok boxer or like Instagram boxer. That's what people call him, right?
Yeah.
He's won a couple
Pretty
fights.
Yeah.
He's won a couple fights, and I respect that, you know. But this was one of those ones where I'm like, man, you got rocked.
Yeah.
Like, you got your ass beat.
1.2 million pay-per-view buys in the U.S., which is like the biggest boxing event since 2017.
Yeah, which is crazy. Was that Mayweather?
Canelo and someone else.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Before that, it was Mayweather, right? But I find it interesting because, like, I've only really started, I would say, watching boxing end of last year, kind of this year.
Yep.
But boxing has been losing steam for years, right? Like, the last time there was this big event was 2017. That's a long time.
That's a long time, man.
And I think, like, UFC has kind of taken a lot of that same combat sport attention.
Totally.
So it was great to see this, like, two guys in their prime. Like, they're both undefeated at the time.
Yep.
You know, RIP Garcia, but coming together, they have a huge social media following. You got rappers that love Tank, and like he came out with Chief Keef and all that.
Yeah, Love Sosa.
I think the women love Garcia. He kind of has that pretty face, like the TikTok kind of guy, pretty boy.
Yeah.
But that just drew like a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Right. But
it's
Tank
great,
is a master, man.
Yeah, dude,
Tank
he's crazy.
Is a master.
And like, listen, like we were talking about boxing, kind of like dying off.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely not what it was. And I don't watch boxing. You know what I mean? Like I know that, like, you know, you look back in the day, like guys like Mike Tyson and even like Floyd Mayweather, like these were like superstar,
huge.
Best ever kind of guys.
Yeah.
Hasn't really been anyone like that.
Yeah.
And with those guys kind of like, well, they've faded out. I think it's really interesting how like it's kind of jumping more in the entertainment side. Like you've seen like Jake Paul. Yeah, you've seen guys like Ryan Garcia, like guys who have come up on the internet, like kind of like turn themselves into, you know, what, a 1.2 million pay-per-view kind of scene.
Yeah.
I respect it.
I forgot about the whole Jake Paul stuff. That, like, if you're an actual boxer, I feel like you would just hate that guy so much.
For sure.
It's bringing attention to your sport, but in, like, the wrong way.
Totally. Right?
Like, they're it is what it is.
It's doing something.
Yeah, 100%. Let's shift a bit. I don't know. You don't really watch Netflix, but did you ever watch Black Mirror?
Never watched it.
You never watched it?
No. Nah.
You know what it is?
Like, kind of. It's like a, is it like Inception kind of?
No.
I have no idea, man. I have zero.
It's a show. I think it was based in the UK. That's where it started. And I think there's been about 3 seasons on Netflix. It's one of their top 10 shows, right? Yeah. And it kind of it has a take on society from, like, technology standpoint.
Sure.
So, like, it would be like, what are the dangers of
social media? Yeah, I think I saw one where it's like you could, like, or it's like an episode where it's like
you can
rape people yeah, in real life or something like that. Yeah.
So what if there was like a social currency in the world, and like you could see people's rating and then upvote them or downvote them? What might that look like?
Yeah.
And they go to the extreme of like
showcasing how
it'll play out.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
But everyone's been kind of commenting about, like, during the pandemic of like, where's Black Mirror? We need them because this is some real shit we're going through right now. So I want to see how they come out with these new episodes and if they have a take on like the pandemic,
the vaccines,
and like what is the worst that can happen in terms of all these new developments. But I'm pumped, man. Like, it's a lot of the stuff we've been talking about on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to watch it for sure.
Yeah.
The last thing in our kind of like weekly, bi-weekly recap is this is kind of very random.
Random as hell.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I'm from Ottawa, where I grew up in Ottawa. Yeah. The Senators are a huge team over there. It's like their main sports franchise out there.
Right.
Hockey team, for those who might not know. But their owner unfortunately passed away. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before.
Oh, shit.
So they're looking for a new kind of like ownership group to like take control of the team, invest in the team, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Ryan Reynolds has been a guy that's, you know, the name's been kind of been thrown around. You know, it's kind of interesting. But this morning, Snoop Dogg, it was reported that Snoop Dogg is looking to potentially look for like a group of partners to purchase the Ottawa Senators with him. Which I think would be hilarious.
Yeah. Would he be the first Black owner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is like sick for hockey. You know what I mean?
They won't even let him.
That would be hilarious to me because it's like, imagine they like put in like a smoker's lounge or some shit at the arena. Like, cause like, can you imagine where it's like the fucking weed is supplied by Snoop Dogg or whatever. Yeah. You can buy it, like put legal a dispensary here, so. in the arena or something.
That would be crazy.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But the implications of that, like Snoop Dogg's like a good businessman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to like the joke side of things, but in all honesty, like that could be kind of a cool development.
Yeah. We were talking about, we don't need to spend too much time on this, but we were talking about how Snoop Dogg can almost do anything.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like he partnered with Martha Stewart.
It doesn't surprise you at all. It doesn't surprise you at all. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like it's random, but you're like, oh, dope. Like,
yeah, straight up.
He's just that uncle that like can do whatever the hell he wants. Facts. You know, like I actually think he is the most famous rapper of all time.
Snoop Dogg?
Yeah. I think like visually and the brand that he carries, like I think everyone knows who that is if they see him.
Yeah, I don't know if I would agree with you.
Not like, record sales, not that, but I mean popularity. Like, you know that Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, in terms of like, yeah, if you expand outside of music, you look at people who have like influenced culture and society and are just icons.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'd even put 50 Cent up there too.
Probably 50 Cent, you know? Yeah. Someone that like your grandma would know.
Yeah.
They don't know the music, that's whatever, but it's like, oh, that's Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, that's Snoop.
You know, they're not going to say that about Jay-Z as much as you might think.
For sure.
You know, or like Drake maybe, but I feel like Snoop Dogg, the generations, it's crazy.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
So shout out to Snoop Dogg. That's our segment on Snoop Dogg for the podcast, you know?
Straight up.
Let's move in here. A little bit of a rant, but
I love it. I've seen so much of this shit.
We got to have the rant. So tipping culture in North America has been a topic that I've seen for a long ass time being discussed, right? Yeah. But I think more so now, like I'm active on Reddit. Like I've seen kind of the threads that pop up in Toronto and Canada and like New York kind of subreddit channels.
Sure.
where people will be, it typically comes from like someone that is visiting or someone that is moving here from Europe or, you know, outside of North America. And they're like, why do I need to tip 20, 25, 30% at a coffee shop or, you know, at a restaurant even, because they're not used to that.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings that question. I think as people are from here, we understand that a lot of these situations are from those workers not earning enough wage, so they rely on the tips. And that's kind of just the way our society is built. But what I have a problem with is if I'm at a kiosk, if I'm getting like a sandwich at Starbucks or something, and they turn the iPad over and it's like 18% minimum tip, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm hitting no tip every single time.
Yeah.
Right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Looking you in the eyes and clicking no tip.
Yeah,
and be
like, oh, yeah, have a great day.
I memorize where the no tip is on that dashboard so I can click it faster, you know? But I just think, like, we need to shake things up at some point of, like, why is this tipping culture, like, such a thing here? And, like, how do we change this?
Well, it's first and foremost, I think it starts with paying people like a fair wage. I think like the service industry and hospitality industry in North America is reliant on tips because people aren't obviously paid the same way that, you know, you and I are paid for our kind of salary positions, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge problem, right? Because when you run into people like, you know, you, where you're like, okay, well, like, I don't actually feel like it's justified to tip something, which I back you up. Yeah, like, if someone's pouring me a coffee, what service am I paying them for? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And why do I have to do that for, like, someone who's just simply doing their job?
Yeah.
Not over and above anything, but, 100%. Like, just doing their job kind of thing.
And it's not like...
It's not like it's like a hotel worker or something like that where, like, coming in, like, cleaning the sheets and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, not, if you're on vacation and all inclusive, like, you leave like you're a couple bucks some or something like that, 100%. Right? But the worst is, like, now that I feel like it's become a, it's just growing to a point where, like, this isn't even making any sense anymore. And there's so many memes and TikToks and stuff about 100%. It where it's like, oh, hey, like, yo, can you hand me that thing? It's like, yeah, no problem. And then like turn around and then there's like a tip thing right in front.
What, using Square.
Yeah. It's like, oh, actually just check this out really quick.
Yeah.
That's the tip thing.
Yeah.
I just feel like if we're going to get past this, it's probably got to come from a bit of a reorganization of how people pay their staff at the 100%. End of the day.
Yeah.
Because on the other side of things too, it's not the worker's fault. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like, man,
part
like,
of protocol.
Yeah. I am reliant on someone giving me a tip. And my philosophy has always been like, if the person's like kind of just doing their job and like serving me in a way that's normal, I'm going to tip like kind of like not the bare minimum, but like the, cause that sounds really bad, but like 5%. Like a 15% or 18%, whatever it is, like kind of like, I'm like, this is standard. You will get a standard tip. But if like service is over and above, which like, to be honest, most of the time it's not. I'm just, you know, I'm going to tip 20%, but I'm not looking up at those like 25, 30%. Like, it's
the standard keeps moving. Cause I remember when we were younger, it was 13 minimum.
Oh yeah.
Then it became 15. Now it's 18, sometimes 22, depending where you go.
Yeah.
Minimum. So I have to enter a custom amount and go under 22. I'd look like a loser.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean? So,
and I look like, you don't want to feel like that, but it's also like no disrespect to the person. It's like, man, like,
yeah, it's not disrespect.
Do you think that the service is worth 25%?
Yeah.
No. Like,
and then you get the people that work in the service industry. Their argument is that do not leave your house unless you can do like a 25% tip. And I'm like, that's not fair either.
Yeah, that is not right.
That's not.
Like, it's like that's not how things are going to go down.
Yeah.
You're basically saying like you have to subsidize my salary. Yeah. Like, I get both sides of the coin.
It's a tricky argument.
But the problem is people getting paid fairly. Like, you're caught in between, like,
that's the core
being someone who, like, you're like, listen, man, like, I don't feel like this, I need to go over and above for you. And then this person is saying, well, like, my job and, like, my pay is reliant on you doing this. So, like, how could you do this? We're just caught in the middle of, like, some stupid fight between ownership and, you know, the worker.
Man, and then I feel like I'm, like, skeptical, too, like, when it's tied to a corporation. Like, if it's a mom and pop store or whatnot, and there's like a tip, you know, tip system on the kiosk, maybe I might feel more inclined to tip. Well, like at Starbucks, like is this going to the is this going to the person I'm speaking to? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, is this being shared evenly? Probably not. You know, this is going towards the corporation. So that's the way I view it. Nothing's going to change from this podcast, but like we'll see what happens.
It is very interesting though, man, because
we're stuck.
It is. It is getting crazy.
Yeah.
We're stuck to your point. And like, I think about like Uber Eats, for example, I'm like, bro, like this is where things get insane for me.
You know what they did too? They're sneaky with it, man. They separate the tip from the total payment.
Totally.
Yeah. So it feels like you're paying less.
Yeah.
And the tip is like the next stage after, and it feels like two different payments. And I'm just like, that's like not a good thing to do, man.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Is like, you know,
that's like the user experience guys being like, pattern. You know what?
Yeah,
we're gonna do some unethical shit, honestly, shit right here. Bro. Like, you know what I mean? But it's like with Uber and Uber Eats, it's just it's crazy how things can add up. You know what I mean? Oh, and like that is our conversation.
I got lunch today, Uber Eats, man.
Yeah, like, it's like cool. Like for something that's $10, you have to factor in that it's at least gonna be $30. Like you have to factor, but seriously though. You have to factor in that, like, the service between fee, the fees, the delivery charge. Small order fee
because it's under 12.
Yeah, all this kind of stuff. It's probably going to be double what the actual cost
is. So is it worth it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't even want to get
into
that.
Other discussion.
We're going to ruin this episode if I get into it.
Definitely. Let's move on.
Let's move on. I don't know if you saw this or you might have sent this to me. I can't remember. But this morning I saw a beer ad that was like just an AI generated commercial. So it was like they obviously prompted this thing where it was like make a beer ad, has to include this or whatever. And it's weird because it's all like, you know, when it's like looks computerized and like people's faces are fucked up or like things are like warped kind of thing. Like it was like that, but it was.
Was it good?
No, it was fucking. Like, I mean, it was a beer ad, dude. It was just people like sitting around like drinking and celebrating and all that kind of stuff. It had the bones of what that would be.
Okay. Right? Yeah. And what brand was it? Do you remember?
What's that?
What brand?
It was just a made up brand.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it was entirely made up, right?
I was going to give them credit for like doing that, but
it might have been a beer brand that like is foreign to me, but like it looked like it was just kind of made up.
Okay, okay. Interesting.
And like people are like talking about it and they're like, oh, this is like hilarious.
Yeah.
But it kind of got me thinking. I've seen a couple of people post, like a couple ad execs, and I'm not going to name on this because I'm not going to name.
Air them out.
But I think people are like really fucking nervous about this kind of stuff. People like they're like, oh, like, you know, AI can't replace creativity and all that kind of stuff, which I'm like, I agree. But like there are ways that AI can be leveraged in ways that like kind of take another step in like the advertising process, right?
Yeah.
That I think people have to start thinking about really, really quickly, right?
I wonder how that works. Because like I've seen it with images. I just haven't seen it produce video yet.
Yeah, it looks fucked.
Of course,
like it doesn't look real, but it's like that's part of the process where it like learns and gets better.
Today is the worst it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow it's going to be better the next day. That's
absolutely.
That's the scary part about it, right? Because I could see the way that like I've seen articles from copywriters that say they use like ChatGPT to help them with like lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That's a way that I've seen it work. But I need to kind of see this camera. I'm very curious on what that would look like.
It looks really, really weird.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, because like you can see that it's just like people's faces are a little bit warped, or like they're drinking something and the thing is weird. Like it looks fake.
Think about like if the prompt can be the brief that they would give to a strategist.
Totally.
Right? Like commercial beer commercial showing, I don't know, whatever it is, right? And it's like you type that in some sort of way. You add supporting visuals, maybe. And then it gives you source material that you can build off of.
Yeah,
it might not be the final copy, but like, that's kind of dope.
I think the way that I see this is like for very functional, like larger brands, right?
Yeah,
like I think of like huge companies that, you know, hire agencies that, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to go back and forth on an edit 50 times, right?
Yeah,
and it's so costly and it's so expensive to like do this where you're like, why don't we just make changes on the fly, right? And I think that, like, if you look at it, I think people, like, big-time advertising execs are already facing huge challenges in the industry right now to, like, maintain relevancy and stay up, which is why I think, like, there's been so many shitty fucking ads lately.
Yeah.
Like, making stupid stuff up and, like, just gimmicky type shit that it's like, oh, like, we're winning awards off this. Like, you know, Like that, the mayo thing the other day that yeah, last time I was watching. Right. Like, this is fucking stupid. Like, this is such a, like, this is good work in the realm of advertisers, but is not good work in terms of like the actual client, right? Or like what needs to be delivered against like the client objectives.
Yeah.
If clients, if I'm like a larger brand that has a ton of money, but like my budget, my advertising and marketing budgets are kind of like shrinking a little bit. Where am I going to use some like my dollars to, you know, get the most effective product innovation, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's in the next step.
This is interesting because it's obviously it's going to be a while for it before it's like really useful, I would say. But
for sure.
It kind of reminds me, and this is kind of a loose comparison, but there was this photographer. Did you hear that story? How he used AI to win that award?
Yeah, totally. I love it. What like, the fuck? Hilarious.
Yeah, like he won an award for basically the best. I'm not describing this well, but the best photograph taken.
Sure.
Right? And he used AI to create it. So Midjourney and this whole, all these tools. And he said, I'm not going to accept this because I used AI, but I want to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And this is the type of shit that we're up against.
Totally, right? It's like, can creativity be replaced? Yes. No. Yes, I don't, but I don't think it can. I don't think creativity can be
replaced. Define creativity.
Okay, like now we're getting like philosophical on me, but I would say that like...
But what part of it can't be replaced or recreated, I should say?
I think it can be recreated, but like it's the same reason why when... And it's hard for me to articulate it, but like the best way that I can describe it is like, you know how you're listening to like an AI Drake song or something like that?
Yeah.
It's just like, it sounds cool, but it's just not, it's not the same, right? It doesn't feel, it's not the same thing. It's not the real product.
Yeah.
Right.
But I actually disagree.
Enlighten me.
I think for me,
this guy listens to AI Drake tracks. This guy's the biggest fan of AI Drake.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think this has been the same theme of topic that we've been discussing, where we do appreciate it being human made and where it comes from. But I'm speaking for people that are commenting on these AI Drake tracks like, yo, put this on Spotify and all that. And I think the masses don't really care. I think if it sounds good and they're like, where's an album of AI Drake? Like, we need that. For me, I don't want to listen to that because I know the source. But like a lot of people, if it bangs, it bangs. Like they don't.
Yeah, that's
fair. I don't think a lot of people appreciate what goes into creativity and to art and to actually creating something out of nothing.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I think I agree with that perspective. The way that I see it too is like, again, it's like it's a resource, right?
Yeah.
And I 100%. Think that like the creative process in the context of advertising agencies, coming up with a strategy, building a creative marketing campaign, and then producing it, like, is to me like a process that has felt like, especially someone who's worked in advertising, you can probably agree with this as well.
Pretty rigid.
It can be a very rigid and like strenuous process to get to like a final product, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, and for me, like the process right now feels archaic.
Yeah.
It feels like old, and it's like, okay, like this is a clunky process, and so many agencies are like, how can we get tighter on the process? How can we make it? I think AI, the same way with Drake songs, like where you have like producers and a billion people working on a song, AI can actually replace a lot of those people and like that process if like the right people are at the table to help guide and instruct what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
So if I'm a client working on or like a brand that needs like a mass advertising campaign, but I don't have a ton of dollars to work with an agency to get through that process, why wouldn't I just work with a team of like maybe three people, like someone who can like be like, okay, here's what this thing needs to do. Let's establish that. Three, let's like gather the resources for us to be able to understand and instruct this thing of what to do. And then three, like let's hit go on that thing.
Yeah.
And use me as a consultant to like go back and forth on feedback. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, cool. Yeah. This is how our instructions made this happen. Let's take out these couple things and then just chuck it in and see what happens. Like, I feel like the auto industry, like auto marketing campaigns, could literally
be templated.
They're so templated, right? Yeah. And like for anything that feels templated, like 95% of like mass advertising campaigns, why wouldn't you just use something like this to cut costs?
100%. And we're only talking about broadcast right now too.
Totally.
Right? Like this could write radio scripts pretty easily.
Yeah.
Well, radio scripts or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This could fucking banner ads and shit.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Could, like, all could, that shit can be templated and can be created by AI at this moment.
Yeah, totally. You know don't, I mean? I feel like you don't need people to do
which that is scary though. You need people to run it, but not as much people at an agency now.
Totally.
When like at our agency, we had what, 160 people at John Street?
Yeah.
Like you don't need that many people if you can leverage AI at this point.
Totally.
You
know? It's the same. It's literally fucking self-checkouts at grocery stores.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the same thing. It's the same concept.
Yeah.
It's like I get that people are scared of stuff like this because like people need jobs and people need to work for sure.
Yeah.
I get it. You know what I mean?
Man, but, this... go ahead.
No. You go.
I was going to say, so the guy they call the godfather of AI, so he's very instrumental into forming the algorithms for machine learning that we use today. He just resigned from Google. And the reason why is because he wants to be able to speak freely about the dangers of AI. So he's been commenting about, like, we need regulations because, like, if this gets smarter than humans, we're fucked.
Yeah, we're not. What he's saying. Yeah, corporations are going to continue to rule the world, and it'll be, like, a very select amount of people who, like, yeah, are able to make money.
You said it perfectly.
That's it.
Literally. Like, he's concerned. He's like, are we not thinking about jobs?
Yeah.
You know, and we're not. We're not really.
No, there's so much that this could take out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If we're not smart about the approach.
If we don't regulate it at some point.
Yeah. Right?
And I don't know all the details of what we should do and what regulation looks like even, but I think we do need to like halt on certain advancements.
Yeah.
For a little bit. Can we chill?
Yeah, yeah. Or like help figure this one out.
Help figure this one out.
Elon Musk is like, thank you. Like, thank you guys. Like,
while working on his shit in the background, you know?
Totally.
But we always got to do our AI segment.
Of course. It's really interesting. It's like, I would say like a couple years ago when it was the pandemic, like we were talking about COVID. Now we're talking about AI being like the number one topic of discussion because it's hot right now and it's here.
It's a topic of the year.
Remember when we were talking about VR and we were like, oh man, VR's got to be the next big thing.
Metaverse shit.
And now it's just like, okay, like fuck that. Like this is something actually like tangible that's going to be actually quite interesting.
Because people can actually see the use of it. Because VR was like, okay, cool, you're chilling at home and you can like be in a metaverse. All right, dope. But that doesn't really solve a problem.
Yeah.
AI is, solving problems.
It's solving problems. It's going to be a thing that's implemented into our life every single day.
Here we go, man.
Here we go.
Podcast with two AI creators at some point.
Yeah, totally. Maybe. We are AI.
Man. Yeah, we are AI.
Let's move on. Let's kind of move on. This one's a really interesting one. We have to give our shout-outs to Pocam.
Shout out, Pocam.
You know, we've been a part of this group on LinkedIn for a couple years now.
Yeah.
Run by some really, really smart folks. For those who might not know, and if you don't know, you should.
We bring it up enough.
People of color in advertising marketing. It's kind of like a group of people who a network, a I should group, say, yeah. To allow industry professionals who are BIPOC to connect, challenge the industry in several ways.
Yeah,
fine jobs. And we talked about this last year. This is the release of the third annual Visible and Vocal Study, which is basically a poll that is done within the advertising marketing industry amongst BIPOC individuals as well. That's released a ton of information about, the state of the industry, especially coming out of the last couple of years where there's been a huge focus on, agencies listening and learning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is the classic line here.
We hear you.
So some of the big, focal points of the actual study itself, honestly, not overly surprising to me.
Yeah.
But I'll read it out here. Only 18% of BIPOC professionals in the advertising marketing industry feel like, change has been made in the right direction for, race relations, for lack of better articulation. While 65% of white people in that same kind of like group feel like it's changed for the better. As you can kind of see, it's and I might be like skewing like the actual
like the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You know what I mean? So obviously a drastic difference in terms of how people are perceiving progress, right?
Yeah.
The study did show that there was some progress made year over year, but I think like the
in terms of representation,
exactly, and policy, and better. The bigger takeaway here is like, you know, how is it start? How are we monitoring the year over year progress that we're seeing here? And things are on the upswing, but generally speaking, I think a lot of BIPOC professionals are looking at this being like, are we surprised that a lot of agencies and a lot of other people have kind of backed down from their plans? Not really.
Yeah, yeah.
But things at least have gotten somewhat better. But again, it's a journey. Things aren't going to fucking change overnight.
Yeah, it's funny because like I look at that stat, which is crazy, and I'm like, it was probably like three black people at the agency.
Yeah.
And then now there's five, and the white people are like, oh shit,
they're look like, at us. We're popping off.
Yo, we're doing.
Yeah, like, yo, fuck,
we're
man.
Killing it. We got a handful now, yeah. You know? Like. This is not surprising at all. It's funny, and I hate that it's funny because I just know that it wasn't really going to change that much.
Totally.
It's kind of just like to be expected, but I think it really needs to dig into the why of that, of like for that 65%, what do you believe has changed in your mind?
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
And like, the study
break
breaks
down a bit. Like, what does that mean to you? You know, things are better in what way?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I
how could they be even more improved? And what role do you play in this?
So let's answer that question. Yeah. Let's answer that question as two BIPOC professionals ourselves.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Do I think things have gotten better from an infrastructure standpoint? No. Yeah. Like, do I think that roles have been created for like DE&I leaders and all that kind of stuff to help influence change? You know, in the two places that I've worked with since all this stuff came out,
yeah,
not really. Have I been more comfortable speaking up and saying this isn't right, or like I feel this way about X? Yes, I think that comes more so from maturity than, you know, the industry having influence over me. But it's a really great question to ask, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
These are the types of things where people will look at, and this is an insightful conversation that we're having right now and that yeah. we can be having around topics like this, is that like until like white people continue to take matters into their own hands, things aren't going to change. Nothing's going to fucking change.
Yeah, we can't change.
I can't change
ourselves.
Shit.
No.
And that's probably why I'm like I am part of that 18%.
Yeah, yeah.
Of looking at, you know, the industry and saying, do we feel comfortable with the changes that have been made? What changes?
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable and feel more supported that there are more people speaking out about stuff like this.
But nothing changed.
You can group me into that stat category for sure.
Yeah.
But in terms of like what I see, you know, my organization and organizations that I've been a part of really try and lean in and make a difference, it's not really going to stop unless, you know, the people at the top make some executive decisions and give up some of their space to help, right?
Yeah, to allow for it to change. Because what we've seen a lot is, especially during the pandemic or post-pandemic, especially with layoffs happening, the people that get laid off are typically, you know, obviously like sales and stuff like that, but like these DE&I
like
positions
and
employee resource groups are being taken away and things like that that we've seen across different tech companies that we brought up. Like, these are the jobs that are being axed. The ones that you brought in because maybe that was a performative thing of like, this is what everyone else is doing. We want to show the employees that we care and we value, you know, their cultural identity and things like that. But then when you got to make the chops for numbers, it's like you get rid of those same groups.
The exact same people.
To show that you didn't really value them in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Right? And like, I want every single agency person who's listening to this, like, really take that in for 2 seconds. Because it's like, unless you're actually willing to make a change, then like, just don't say anything. Like, I would actually appreciate it if people just like didn't put their hands up and say like, oh yeah, like I'm standing for this. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. Like, cool. Like, I know that you're not explicitly racist. Like, that is a good thing for me to know about you. Like, you're not explicitly racist. That's okay. That's the bare minimum of
literally
like, what I think is acceptable in today's
in
world.
Society. Yeah.
But like, you still benefit and you still perpetuate it through microaggressions or, you know, participate in your company's infrastructural issues that come out in, you know, conversations like this.
Yeah.
All those types of things are washed away when, you know, when it comes down to it. Like at the end of the day, and I've always said,
so frustrating.
It's just for sure. It's incredibly frustrating, yeah. Right? But like at the end of the day, we talked about this, like, you know, I think a few episodes ago or earlier this year, and it's been an ongoing topic of conversation that we've had for years. Right?
Yeah.
Where it's like marketing and, you know, philanthropy or, you know, DE&I, like how do those things come together? Like, I don't think that they do. Because at the end of the day, advertising is about driving business.
Yeah.
If you're not driving business, then what is the purpose of it?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't take a marketing approach to DE&I as well as people thought that they could. You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
seems so simple.
Buy this product and we will donate money to this organization to show how we're creating change. Just donate the fucking money.
Only in the month that it matters.
Of course. Or the day. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, month is a lot.
We're not always given the luxury of a full month here.
100%.
But I don't know. Like, I find that when I think about change, when I think about what people need to do, it's just, I'm sick of people being like, oh, I'm listening, I'm learning and stuff like that. It's like, just,
yeah, it's been 3-4 years. Yeah, what do we?
What do you need to change?
Just ask someone. You know.
And I would love to do another kind of like conversation with.
That we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like you, but like go around to like different agencies and be like, how do you guys actually feel like you've achieved and moved the needle on like your DE&I efforts in the last couple of years? And like that's when you'll start to see you know what I mean? It's like, well,
literally just asking that question and seeing how they respond.
Exactly.
Because it's not something that's top of mind for them.
Yeah. And like if a company was just honest and said, like, honestly, like we lost our grasp on it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, like at least respect and appreciate you more for being 100% honest. But like you're still fucked.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I really appreciate, I just want to put that out there, I really appreciate the POCAM study, man, because I feel there's not a lot of, like, it's not like a paid organization. Like, this is done off of like people's want to be better, mm-hmm. and it's led by some of the best people in the industry
that are passionate about this and want to see something
different. You know what I mean? And you know, we're privileged enough to be able to speak about it from the perspectives that we do, because you know, it's a different story if these types of comments aren't coming from guys like us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Josh Richards, man. Like that guy's been about it since day one. Right.
For sure.
I appreciate it. And like, you know, guys like Julian Franklin, I'm lucky that I get to work with Julian Franklin every day.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I appreciate that, you know, and I benefit from having, you know, a black leader, you know, on my immediate team.
Yeah.
Like someone who's like very influential, who like gives a shit about this kind of stuff. It matters, man. It matters a lot to me.
100%. Yeah. And like not a lot of people can say that they have a black leader, you know?
No, not at all.
That representation means a lot. So that's dope that you have that access. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Yeah. Let's move on here. What do we got?
Ranked the friendliest city in the world. Yeah. Tied with Sydney.
Yeah, man. So I saw this on fucking probably BlogTO or some dumb
BlogTO.
Right?
I fucking hate BlogTO. Yeah. I'll say it. I don't care.
We've been very vocal on our hate for BlogTO.
Visible and vocal about BlogTO.
I love it.
Bad joke.
Horrible joke. So this was like based on
like pause.
We don't amplify each other up here. We tear each other down.
Yeah, we fuck each other up, bro.
Yo, this is based on visitor return rate. So people obviously visiting Toronto and then coming back in some sort of time period. Friendliness of staff. So they looked at like TripAdvisor and like all those kind of reviews and if it has friendly in it in a keyword.
It's like, do you tip well?
It goes back to that, I guess. You know. And then acceptance of diversity is another category amongst some others, right? You just kind of read that headline and you're like, this is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
You know, as we've all been to other cities before.
Yeah. You think so? You don't think it's true?
I don't think they're the friendliest in the entire world.
Have you been to every city in the entire world? Every
single fucking one, man. Twice. I don't know. I even find it just like, we're not even the friendliest city in Canada. Like,
Definitely not.
Toronto?
Bro, when I moved here.
You are so mean here.
Yeah. Well, totally. And like, I feel like the biggest difference for me when I understood what Toronto is kind of all about in a nutshell was when I moved here from Ottawa, I remember I got on the bus. When I would go on the bus in Ottawa, take the bus to school, people would move out of the way when I was getting off the bus, or move out of their seat if I was on the inside of one.
Yeah,
they'd stand up or whatever to let me off, kind of thing.
No,
here in Toronto, people just kind of like scoot over, and I'm like, oh, this is what it's fucking about, man. Like, this sucks. But I don't know. For me, these kind of things are just so they're quantified and just like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure that there's plenty of other like nicer cities in the world that are like much smaller and have like.
Of course, kind of like a vibe to them. Creates conversation. It's for tourism as well. Like, you know, all the Toronto publications are going to run with stuff like this, and it creates funny conversation in the comments, because just like what we're doing, we're like, absolutely not. And then everyone tags their friends and they're like, there's no way. Like, if you've been to any other city, it's way better than Toronto. So that's what they're here for. That's what BlogTO is for.
They're like, yes.
They're like,
Toronto just got him. New this. Yeah. It's like all the same shit.
Bro, you know what I love when they're like Lincoln by when they do like the catchy headline. And
yeah. It's
like, you got to read the Lincoln bio, and there's always like a comment that just is like explains it. And they're like, you don't need to click.
Yeah, guys. Don't click it. Like, yeah. Here you go.
It's like sometimes I feel like they delete those, but
yeah,
like, I'm not clicking the fucking link.
Yeah, I'm not. This isn't. Yeah, guys, yeah. Come on.
Give me that shit plain, you know what I mean?
Straight up.
Hey, man, we covered Snoop Dogg. We covered diversity issues in the marketing and ad industry.
You know, it's crazy, man. That was episode 11.
100%.
Oh, thank you so much.
We'll be back next week. That's a promise.
Yeah, straight up. It's not a threat. It's a promise. You know what I mean? Thank you so much for listening. That was episode 11, season 5. Hopefully, and we didn't get to talk about this, but the last time that we released an episode, that's when we got torn apart by all the Chads and Connors.
Oh, man.
In the comment section. We got to talk about it, like, maybe in the next episode.
Next episode, yeah.
We got to do a recap of this one, because that was crazy. And I don't normally comment on
shit
like that.
Yeah, this guy jumped in.
But I jumped in because I'm like, man, they fuck you, piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I found it hilarious, but like, someone's like, you have no idea what the bigger picture is. I'm like, fuck out of here, Karen. You know what I mean? Like,
and the homies ran in there too.
Yeah, I got, shout out to all the homies jumping in to have our backs. But anyways, we'll cover more of that in the next episode.
Let's get it.
Thanks so much for listening, and have a great morning, evening, afternoon, midnight, whatever you're listening to this.
Peace.
Thank you.